Okay, we're picking up from the top line of Zion Amud Aleph. We were the words of Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Mistei Ha'ilam Kedarko, Mistei Alam, and Shalak Kedarko. The Mishnah told us that Rabbi Yehuda says that from a Stei Ilan, and if a tree with plants in it, you're allowed to trap the animals in a normal way. However, from a field of Stei Alavan, which is usually defined as a grain field, you have to trap them in a different way. Shalak Kedarko, in an unusual way. So the Gemara says, Tanur Abba Madan Rabbi, so Ketsu Kedarko, how is it considered trapping in the usual manner? You dig a hole and you leave it, the trap in that hole. The hole is providing the area for where the rodents are going to go through underground, and that's going to lead them into the trap. That's considered kedarko. However, keta chelo kedarko, what's the way in which you do it in a normal way? No, it's shapud make bekardim, that you dig a spit into the ground, and then you hit it over with the hammer. And through that way, you're going to be flattening the ground beneath it, so they're caught underneath the fallen ground that you've just crushed. That's the way that's going to be considered in a non-normal fashion. That would be considered something which is an unusual derech. Now the Gemara quotes, Tanya, we learn in the Braisa, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, K'shamnu mistei alavan shelo kedarka, when they said the lacha, that you should trap them from a grain field in a way that's not the usual way, lo omre ela bistei alavan asmucha le'ira, bistei alavan asmucha le'sada ilan, I feel a kedarko shami yatsu adela ar rechivu esa ilan. He says that the lacha that we said that you do in an unusual manner, that's only with regards to grain field that's near the town. However, if it's a grain field which is near the actual stay lava, which is the normally planted field, then you could even do it in the usual manner, because we're afraid that people will go from the grain field and destroy the trees in the plant field. That's the problem that Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar is qualifying this halacha of Rabbi Yehuda's chumra and saying it only applies when there's no stay lava nearby. If there's stay lava nearby, then it would not be applicable. Now the Mishnah also told us a makrinus, a pirtza b'moed, you're allowed to close, if you have a breach in a fence, you're allowed to close on a chol hamoed, and in Shemitah you're allowed to build a new wall, even in the normal derech. So the Gemara says, Ketzad mekarin, how do we close the breach? Rabbi Yosef Amar, behutza v'dafna, you have it with some sort of a palm leaf, and also a other type of green leaf as well, dafna, some sort of also green leaf, that's the way you do it. B'masnizatana v'dun rabbeisa, tzar, b'tzror v'inotach betit, you pile it with stones, but you do not put the plaster on it, because if he doesn't cement the stones together, the wall is going to be done in a non-maisa uman, not a professional way. Repairing it in a maisa uman, which should be something which is generally usher to do on a chol hamoed, and therefore that would be another eight. So the braisa is not going to be a contradiction to Rav Yosef, just giving another way to repair it also. The masnisa tan is not a stira against Rav Yosef, just another way to a permitted way to do it on chol hamoed. So the Gemara now says, "Amar Rav Chista, Loshanu Ela Kosel Hagina." That we're going to qualify the lacha that, with regards to the closing the wall and rebuild it, that's only going to be true regarding a wall of a garden. There's going to be, in the case where you're not allowed to rebuild it and close it up. That's only been a wall of a garden. Aval Kosel Chater, with the wall of a courtyard, Bona Kedarki, you're allowed to build it in its usual manner, because we're assuming we're dealing with the courtyard and leaving it in a way which would not be closing up the fence, which would leave the possibility that any robber could come in and break into in this courtyard, which is going to be something that's going to come up with major valuables. So then that'd be something that would be allowed to be fixed. So that's going to be allowed. So then what would happen if there's a broken wall of a house? Obviously, then also you let it fix a wall of a house that's, I think, the front door or something like that, in order to prevent robbers or anybody else from coming in. The wall of a garden, we're not afraid people are going to break through the garden. They're not going to really steal anything. I don't know, why aren't we afraid to steal your fruits or something like that? Maybe assuming you don't have the fruits right now, they're not going to steal that. Maybe there's the worst. We're assuming that when it comes to a garden, they're just the worst they're going to do. They're just going to walk in our garden, not going to necessarily destroy anything. As opposed to when it comes to the chatzar, that's going to lead to a major financial loss. Like Marcus Lema must say, yeah, the Braisa maybe actually supports this, because the Braisa says, "Kosel ha-gochel rishus rabim." If you have a courtyard which is gochel, literally like leaning into a rishus rabim, to a public domain, so seravona kedarko, you should demolish it and rebuild it in a normal way. even on a Chol HaMoed. Mipnei HaSakana, because the fact that it's dangerous, it might collapse and injure people. So we see that a courtyard is going to be different than a garden wall. The courtyard wall, we are going to be Mekalan. So Gemara is assuming that we're dealing with a courtyard wall, because if we're dealing with a garden wall, then you would definitely not allowed to be permitted to rebuild it in a normal manner. So therefore we see, Beferish, that we're discussing a courtyard wall. And yet we see that you're allowed to rebuild it. So Gemara says, Hazam, what do you mean? The reason is explicit over there. So much so the Ritva says, what was the Hav of the Mima? The Hav of Mima. The Braisa tells us explicitly that you do this so Sarvanadarka, because of the fact that it'll be dangerous and it's going to fall on people and there's just Rabim, that's why you're allowed to rebuild it. How in the world are you going to tell me that there was a Hav of Mima that it would be anything else? The Ritva explains that we have to assume that the Braisa was allowing it to be rebuilt in the usual manner. We learn that it's going to be allowed in all cases, and the Gemara was assuming that no. Really, the danger is the reason for allowing it to be rebuilt, as we're going to see below, and that was the Hav Amina. But when it comes to just demolishing, it should have been what you're allowed to do. The fact that you're allowed to rebuild in a normal manner, that's what the Gemara was medayek in. So the Gemara says, but even so, that was only mutter because of the fact that there's a danger involved, and not because of the fact that it has to do with the fact that it was a financial loss. The Gemara says, Eka Dami, and there's those who say that the Braisa is actually coming to be a challenge as a kashan Rav Chista. Tashma, we learn from the Braisa that Hakosa Lagokhla Rosh Ravim, if you have a wall that's leaning into a Rosh Ravim, into public domain, so Sarabona Kadarka Bnei Asakana, one should demolish it and rebuild it in the normal manner on Chol HaMoed, because the danger that it might collapse and injure people. The Gemara says that implies Bnei Asakana in, only because of danger, is allowed to be rebuilt in the normal manner. However, Shalom Nesakana lo, but if it was not because of danger, you're not allowed to rebuild it in the normal manner, then the Gemara point suggests that would be lema to have a tiyuf to the Rav Chista. We're going to assume that would be a kashan Rav Chista who says that it's permitted to rebuild the courtyard even if there is no danger. How are you allowed to do that according to Rav Chista? The Braisa seems to say that only when there is a danger are you allowed to do this. The Gemara answer is Amar Lachar Rav Chista, Hasam So Sera Bona. There the danger exists. One is allowed to even demolish and then rebuild the wall. Hacha Bona Velo So Ser. Here in a case of a courtyard wall, one may rebuild the wall only if it was breached, but one may not demolish it for the purpose of rebuilding it. So the Gemara says, Hasam Nami Lister of Lalivne. But wait a second, let's just take a step back. Why in the Braisa anyway? That's a good point. Why would the Braisa allow you to demolish the wall and then rebuild it? Why are you rebuilding it? There's no point of rebuilding it. You should just destroy the wall. Again, it's protruding over the Rosh Hashanah. We're afraid it's going to fall down. So once you destroy it, there's no more danger to the Rosh Hashanah. So the Gemara says, look, in a minute of low associate, if we don't allow him, it's your wall is what's facing the Rosh Hashanah. And your wall is the one that's protruding and about to fall over into Rosh Hashanah. So you see that it might be a little bit of a sakana, but if you're not allowed to rebuild it, you're afraid people are going to come to steal or whatever it was going to be. You don't allow you to rebuild it, so therefore we don't want you. We're afraid that you're just going to look. You're not going to demolish the wall because you don't want to. If you're not allowed to rebuild it, you're afraid of not having your wall for that week of Chol HaMoed. So therefore, we allow you to rebuild it in order that the fact that we're protecting the rabbim for the fact that you would be afraid to destroy it otherwise. So therefore, we allow you to rebuild the wall, and therefore we're allowed to then rebuild the wall. So the Gemara says, Amar Vashi, Masnis Namidaika, that they're actually, if you're Medaik, and the Mishnah carefully, read the Mishnah carefully, actually can we make this some implication from the Mishnah as well. The Ketani, because we learn in the Mishnah, Vashvias Bona Kedarko. In the Shemitah, you're allowed to build a new wall in a normal manner. Dehecha. So which wall are we talking about in Shemitah? Ilim, the Chatzir, you're talking about that you're allowed to rebuild a wall of a Chatzir in Shemitah. But the Mishnah wouldn't even need to tell me that halacha. I mean, it's a rhetorical question. Maybe you'd have to tell me that. No, obviously not, because we're talking about a residential area, which is obviously nothing to do with halachas of building of a field. So why would be a shaila about building a fence or something in Shemitah with regards to if we're talking about a case of a courtyard? So Ella Lav, the Gino, we must be talking about the case of the Mishnah talking about the Chiddush, that it's the wall of a garden, and that's mutter during Shemitah. The Avakav, the Mechsekimad, the Avid, Nitur, the Peir, because it looks like you're building a protection for his produce, which should be Usher in the times of Shemitah. Yet, we're saying that it's not Usher. That it's not Aser Shema Mina. We learn for the Mishnah that refers to a wall of a garden, not to a wall of a courtyard. Therefore, a garden wall may be repaired temporarily on Chol HaMoed, but a courtyard may be rebuilt totally. That's what we learn from this halacha over here. So now the Mishnah is continuing another halacha over here with regards to Tzara'as on Chol HaMoed. It's important to just give a basic hagdama to the halachas of Tzara'as so we understand what's going on over here. Tzara'as is there are four maros of Tzara'as. We actually learned out two from the Torah, and we learned out two more, but they're all four Midoraisa, that there are four shades of white, and those are all the four levels of a patch of skin that turned very white in color, and is deeper than the skin surrounding it. That is going to be what is defined as Tzara'as, and that makes a person Tame. If a person notices this, the Kohen has to check him out, and the Kohen sees that he has these white hairs on the spot, and there's natural flesh inside, so immediately you would be what's called a Matzora Muchlat. You are a mukhla, like 100%, you're confirmed, you're definitely a metzora. If it is, if you have the area which we're discussing is traditionally white, but you don't have necessarily the other one, the surrounding skin and the other things that would define it as making a metzora, if you don't have those other symptoms, so then you would go into a period of isolation for 7 days. That's called the hezker. That's a hezker. We close you off, meaning you're alone for the 7 days. So when those 7 days are up, the kohen will look at you again, and he'll see if the tzaras is there. If there's no other signs of whiteness and nothing spread, and there's not a pisyon, there's not a, it doesn't spread around, the matzora then would go for another 7 days. If another, after the nacha 7 days, the matzora is going to not find anything, then he's going to not become tame. However, if any point, if you have any of those symptoms that it turns more white, or if there's spread of the, then even after those 2 weeks period, you will then be pronounced again a matzora, a confirmed matzora. So there's going to be different halachas as to when you're in that weak period of hezger, when you're in that period of hezger, as opposed to when you are fully defined as a metzora, and that's going to be very important for the hamshech of Rilei Amrabeis. But just want to give the hakdama, just a general understanding of metzora, so that we understand a little bit more of what's going on over here. Rabbi Meir Omer, Rowan is an agayim lahakel, that a kohen, sure enough, the word betzchila really should take another gear. So really, lahakel, that a kohen can inspect the tzaraas on chol moed for only if he's going to be lenient psak of a lachmir, but not going to be a machmir psak. According to Rabbi Meir, that the kohen is allowed to look at the guy as a case where he's not sure if it's tzaraas or not. He's allowed to look at it only to declare him tahor. However, he should not give a tamei verdict. And because of the fact that when you're doing that on the on chol moed and on the chag, it's going to create the guy to be sad, and that would be in violation of a samachta v'chagecha. You're going to make it very sad. So therefore, we don't define it as something that a person should do. But we see that from here that the kohen determining whether he's tamei tahor really has the status, even though he knows the halacha. So normally, when he knows the halacha, you have to say exactly what the halacha is. But there are certain circumstances like this one where we tell him not to give the psak lahachmir because it's all defined on the kohen's word. That the Gemara on Amud Beis is going to learn out where we learn that from. The chachamim say lo lahakir v'lo lahachmir. A kohen should not look at the tzaras neither to be mekel or to be machmir. According to the chachamim, the kohen has to give up. Once you look at the tzaras, the kohen has to give his correct psak what he believes. So if he's going to lead to a situation where you might be machmir and make the situation worse for the guy because he's going to be away from his family, we're going to see exactly which what is the chumra of you, what's Rav Meir, what's the Tanakama. They're going to say it's preferable not to look at it at all, and then to make the situation even worse by making the guy tummy. So that's the opinion of the Tanakam, of the Chachamim, as opposed to Rabbi Meir. So now the Gemara says Tana within a brayso. Further, Meir Omer Rowanis and Nagayim Lahakel, that we look at the Taras on Chol Hamoed only to be Mekel to define him as Tahor, v'lo lahachmir, not to be machmir. Rabbi Yossi Omer lo lahakel v'lo lahachmir. Rabbi Yossi said that we don't look at them at all, not to be machmir, not to be Mekel. We don't give up sack at all. Because if you're looking at the guy to become lenient, again, you have to make up sack, and therefore, once you examine it, when the coin is looking at it, you have to give his correct sack. You can't just not say, you can't just say tahor when you really don't believe it's tahor. Amar Rebbe. So Rebbe says, Nirin de Rebbe Meir b'muskar. The words of Rebbe Meir, that a coin does look at the chol moed, would be defined as someone who's a muskar. Muskar, again, is the person who is. It was the waiting of the 7 days to be declared Torah and no longer going to be away from everybody else. That would make more sense if it's Muskar. Rabbi Yossi b'Muchlad, however, Rabbi Yossi is going to make more sense when it comes to Lacha, if you have a confirmed Mitzora, that a Kohen should not examine a confirmed Mitzora on Chol Hamoed to determine whether or not it is healed. Rebbe basically is agreeing with Rabbi Yossi that once the kohen looks at him, you have to give the correct psak. However, Rebbe holds that any psak that a kohen will give in the case of a mitzora muchlat, that will not make him worse for him on v'samachta b'chagecha. The Gemara is going to discuss this more in Amud Beis. We'll get into why that is, but that's what Rebbe understands. So the Gemara says Amar Rava. So now the machlokas Rabbi Yossi is qualified by Rava. Amar Rava b'tahor with regards to a person who's completely tahor and he was never checked out yet. Kuli alma lapligi de lo chazulei. Even Rav Meir would agree that the kohen shouldn't check him out. Everybody agrees that you shouldn't check him out because he's not defined as tamei. In this case, a person would not be improving his situation by having the kohen come and look at him. It only becomes worse. He's tahor right now. His status is cheskas tahara. If he has the kohen look at it, he then is going to be forced to at least give a psak. Or better, you'd also be forced to give a psak that he doesn't want to give, which is something that should not be done. So therefore, you would not. You don't bring the case to be brought to the kohen. Definitely better to leave him until after the chag. However, if you're in a case Now, Behesker Rishon, if we're talking about, again, we define it as there's first, the first stage, the first days of the first time of 7 days, you have the basic patch with white skin there, but the other signs of Tzaraat are not there. So that's when a person goes into the Hesker Shivas Yamim, where you're in the Hesker, you're closed off for those 7 days. Then that, in that situation, where you're already confined to the 7 days, and there's partial Tzaraat symptoms, so then when you're looking at, if that fell, that seventh day fell on a Chol Moed, then, everyone would agree, even Rabbi Yossi would agree, that a Kohen should examine in a Chol Moed, because in this case, when checking him out, you'd only improve his situation, it would not worsen it. Because if, when you examine him, the Kohen is able to say that he's Tahor, then he's no longer going to be in Hesker anymore, he's no longer going to be confined to be by himself. And if the Kohen finds that he must remain confined for another 7 days, he's no worse off than he was anyway, because right now he's in the Hesker anyway, he's by himself, and he's in the point of Hesker. So when do they argue, turning on to Ahmed Beis now? To Zion on Beis, one of the argue, but Hesker Sheni, with regards to the end of the second Hesker, the final time of the second Hesker, it fell on a Chol Moed. At this point, there could be no further Hesker. So either you have to declare him as a Mitzora, or he's going to become Torah. Becoming a Mitzora was going to obviously not be good for him. Or, however, being and making him tahor and go through that 7 days, that's when there's a machlokas. Because Mar Savar b'Kohen Tal Yamilsa, so Rav Meir understands that the determining him as a mitzora is dependent on the psak of the Kohen, and therefore that is allowed to be taking place in Chol Moed with the fact that itar amalei tahor. That if he's tahor, then it's simple. You just tell him he's tahor. V'tameh shasik, if he's tameh, the Kohen remains silent and doesn't tell him that he's tameh. So according to the man, he's not going to become tameh at that point. And Mar Savar, according to Rabbi Yossi, though, no, latar latamak. So the Pasuk says, the Kohen defines him as Latar Latame. Everyone agrees that it's Tali on the Kohen. The Gemara is going to ask where we learned that from. But it's Tali on the Kohen to determine what the status is. But according to Rabbi Yossi, it says specifically Latar O Latamo. And that would indicate that a person has to give the correct Psak HaChol Moed. And if you're forced to say that he's a confirmed Mitzorah, then Echanami, that he's definitely Mukhlat, that he's definitely a confirmed Mitzorah, then you would have to do that. And that would cause him ruining his Simcha Sachag. And therefore, you should not do it according to Rabbi Yossi. So that's what we learn from the Shita of Rabbi Yossi. Now the Gemara says, Amar Rebbe. Rebbe said, "Near and Rebbe Yosi b'Muchlat." The words of Rebbe Yosi make more sense in the case of a Mitzora who's already confirmed as a Mitzora. If the Rebbe Meir b'Muskar and Rebbe Meir makes more sense that a Kohen should do the proper bedika and check if the guy is really a Mitzora with respect to a Muskar. Again, the guy who's Muskar is the guy who's waiting a week. According to this Breisa, Rebbe does not allow a Kohen to look at a Mitzora Mukhlat on Chol Moed to see whether his condition is healed, but he allows a Kohen to determine when it comes to a Muskar, the guy who's waiting the week, him you should look at. So the words of Atanya Ibcha, but in a different Breisa, we have the opposite. Another Breisa quotes Rebbe as saying that the words of Meir are more correct with regards to a Mitzora who's Mukhlat, he's a confirmed Mitzora, whereas the words of Yossi are more correct when it comes to a Mitzora Muskar. So that is the problem over here. So now the Gemara points out, Tanayi Valiba de Rebbe, really is a Machloka Tanayim according to Rebbe. Mar Tzavar Tzavda de Alma Adiflay, the one holds it according to Rebbe, that being with the world at large, with more people is better. Mar Tzavar Tzavda Ishto Adiflay, and the other one holds that in the company of his wife is preferable to him. So what in the world is going on here? We need a little bit more background again. Also, with regard to halachos of tzaras, Rashi is Mara Chavir, so this is really just a summary of Rashi, that they have to understand that when it comes to the difference between a Mitzora Mukhlat, a Torah Mukhlat is a confirmed Mitzora, and a Torah who's waiting for the Hesker, according to Rashi, when it comes to a Mitzora Mukhlat, a Torah Muskar, it's permitted to remain in Machane Yisrael. He's allowed, a Mitzora Muskar is allowed to be in Machane Yisrael, and he's allowed, meaning, so then what would it be? So that's the time where they had the midbar, where they had the three different machanas. However, that would be defined as a machane would be a walled city. Any walled city, you're allowed to remain there. However, a mukhlat matura is not allowed to be in the city. So once you have a matura mukhlat, you have a matura who's confirmed 100% matura, he must leave the city. So he leaves the city, and he also has to big dog Yifrom, right? They have to tear your garments. And you have to also let your hair grow out long, and you have to say Tame Tame Yikra. All those things are applied by a Mitzora Mukhlat. So whether he is going to be Muskar or he's Mukhlat, the Mitzora is permitted to have relations with his wife. That's what the Rashi understands here from the Gemara, that whether he's Mukhlat or Muskar, he's allowed to have relations with the wife. However, once he enters the 7-day period, once he's considered tahor. He's now entering the 7-day period of tahara, of the becoming pure. So that at that 7-day period, he is permitted to be inside the machane, but he's usher to be with his wife. So we see that there's a certain heter that if you define him as tahor, if you define him as tahor, then he's not allowed to be with his wife because he's entering the 7-day period of tahara. However, he's allowed to be in his house. He's allowed to be in the machane Yisrael. He's allowed to be in the city. He's not sleeping outside the city. So that was going back to the Tanai of Elibidur Ebi. So then, according to this understanding right now, so one holds that the Tzav, that the Alma Adiflay, that the company of the world at large is better to him. That means that he holds it's better to define him as Tahor after he's been confined for that 1 week, after he's been the Muskar for a week, and defining him Tahor is better for Rebbe. That's what means that, that's why he holds like Reb Meir, that you should check him out, because when he's with everybody, he's going to be happy. He's able to live in his house. Okay, he's not allowed to be with his wife. He's not allowed to be intimate with his wife and have relations with his wife. That's fine, as long as he's able to be at his house and have a normal life. That's the first braisa. However, Marsa Vartsavsa, the Isha Adifulei, the other braisa that says that Rebbe held that it's better, that Rebbe held that it's better to be with his wife, that would be the opinion that you should not be checking him out when he is, that would be understanding that you should not be like Rav Meir at that point. You should be like Rabbi Yossi when you're a Muskar. That would be like following the sheet of Rabbi Yossi when you're a Muskar, because you should not be checking him out according to Rebbe in that circumstances. If you pronounce him as Tar, like Rav Meir wants to say you should do this, making it worse for him, because now he can't be with his wife, he can't have a relationship with his wife, which is his Ikr Simcha, and therefore, according to that Braisa, so it's really just a focus of which one is the better of the situations according to this guy. Is it better for him to be with his wife, or is it better for him to be with be back in society at large? That's the shiloh over here. So the Gemara says, "Lamimra de muklat muter b'tashma shemitah." So that seems to then if that's the case, the Gemara is saying that a matzora is muklat, is a full fledged matzora. He's allowed to have relations with his wife. So Gemara says, "In yeah, it's correct." V'atane, and this is haretz. We're going to have two v'atanes here. Not the standard v'atane is akashi. Here is v'atane is haretz. And this is behold, we learn that it's a raya that v'yashem mechutz l'machanah lo shuvasem. We're going to see it to the next source over here that defines it that what he should be in is outside his tent for 7 days. She asher b'tash b'shemitah. That means that during the that he should be forbidden to be in to be with his wife for those 7 days. Vein alo elishto. This is the tenth is his wife. Shemar lechem v'lam shuvu lechem l'lechem. That this is Chal Yisrael when the time of the it was 3 days. It was usher to have tashmi shemitah after those three. After we received the Torah, then we said shuvu lechem l'lechem, which is lashon akia of saying you can be with your wife. Go to your tents. Ve'atashiv madi. That's where we learned that Moshe Rabbeinu was poorish from his wife. From that point, Ve'atashiv madi. Moshe Rabbeinu did not go back to his wife. Shem madi to be with my even b'tzilasi, to be with my shechina, since he was constantly talking to Hashem. He was not with. He was not able to return to his wife. So we see that that's referred to as the understanding that we learn from here that during the time of the Tara that a matzora may not be with his wife. That's what we're learning from the olechem that the. That only during the time of Atara. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Shiva Semim Misaprilo. Rabbi Yehuda says a different pasuk that they should learn it for 7 days. It should be for him. Yemei Sfira Valeimei Chiluto. The only when he's counting, it should be for him and not be with his wife. And that's going to be that the Tashma Shemitah is with his wife. He's out there only during the Shiva Sem, the time when he's in the 7 days of purification, but not in the, when he is Loimei Chiluto. Not the times where he's already defined as a for sure matzora. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Shiva Yemei Sfira. Since the Torah says it's 7 days of counting, he's already healed. All the more so that the marital relations are going to be usher during the days when he's confirmed as a tzara'as when he is there. So meaning the kal v'chomer, if during the time where he is in the purification process, he's still usher to be with his wife, so then kal v'chomer, he's going to be usher to be with his wife in the situation where he is fully tamei. Rabbi Chia said, so that we see that there's a machlokas tanaim, according to Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, you should not be allowed to have relations with his wife during this when he is a matzora. However, according to the Tanakhama, you would be allowed to have relations with your wife when you're a matzora only when you're in the shivas yimei tara, when you're trying to purify yourself for those 7 days. Then you'd be usher to be with your wife. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Chia taught us the Tanakh of Rabbi. We learned before Rabbi. I said, Limanatin Rabbeinu teach us. Yosam loaya lo Luziyahu elam echluta, that Yosam was conceived from Luziyahu, and during the time that he was a matzora muchlas, Luziyahu was the king who was the king of Yehuda for 52 years. He became a matzora. From the time for the last 26 from this I think the 26th year of his reign, and the rest of that time he became a matzora. So Rav Chia was understanding by Rebbe, he said that Uzziah became a tzura at the beginning of his 27th year when he was the king. So he was only the first 26 years he didn't have tzuras. So since Yosam was only 25 years old when Uzziah died, he must have been conceived after Uzziah became a Matsura. This proves that a Matsura Mukhlat is permitted to have relations with his wife. Otherwise, how did he have a child, Uzziah? So what would Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda say? L'chora, this is a pasuk in the Tanakh. How is he going to argue with this? He's going to say that Uzziah became Matsura at the end of the 27th year of his reign, and he was able to, that's when he became a Matsura. The same thing. He had a Taras and he was a Matura only after that point, and therefore he had conceived him before he was a Matura. So the Gemara says, Amar lo, Rebbe replied to Abchia, Afani ken chamarti. Actually, I held like you said. We see that Rebbe permits a Matura Mukhla to have relations. However, a Matura that is being healed and in the process of being healed, it's also for him to have relations, and that would be like the Tana Kama. So this is why one brisa quotes Rebbe as saying that it's usher for a matura mukhlat. It's worse off for him to check it out because it would be usher for him to have relations, whereas before it was mutter for him to have relations. That's how Rebbe held. So the Gemara says, "Ma'akam miflagi." So what are they arguing about, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi? What are they arguing about? So where it says, that we see that during the time of your days of counting, then obviously it's a kavachomer that you should be able to argue that it's a confirmed mitzvah should for sure be usher to have relations. Where you say it, and where you don't say it, you don't say it. Tosos is just wondering, how could you argue? It's a very strong kavachomer. Kavachomer is one of the media that the Shatar addresses, and that if we're saying that if in a situation where he's ready, then it's still usher to have relations. So the kol shekhen, where he's actually physically tummy, then kol shekhen, you should say kal vachomer, you should say that he's not able to have relations with his wife. So those are very bothered by that. It's a very strong kashish. Tosas give a few different terutzim. Tosas give three different terutzim. That what, maybe we could say that Rabbi Yehuda, he had some basis without telling us why you just disagreed with the kal vachomer. Or he yelled that this is a chiddush, and we would say chiddush, there's an inbo el chiddush, you're not allowed to learn a kal vachomer from a chiddush. Or maybe the fact that it says specifically Shivas Yamim implies that period is going to be specifically to those 7 days, and you can learn, you can't learn the halachas of relations to that point because it's specifically mentioned in context of the pasuk as being something which is different. So the Gemara now just points out Lameimra the Bekoyin Talimis. So that's the end of that point over here. Now the Gemara says Lameimra the Bekoyin Talimis. So according to everybody, the fact that you define as a Matorah is dependent on whether or not the coin gives you a psak. It's not like a Matzias which is there. It's something which you need the it's Lekayim Adavar, that without the coin defining you as a Matorah, you're not a Matzora yet, even if you have all the simanim to be tame. So Gemara says, in Ve'atanya, also here is a raya. We already tanya with another of a yom eros bo'ed, that on the day that the person looks at it, he should be defined as tame. So now the Gemara has a drasha. The brisa quotes a drasha. Yesh bo'yom shataroa bo. There's days which the kohen looks at saras. Rashi and Chumash quotes this. Yesh yom shiataroa bo. But there's a day which you do not look at tzara'as. We can't amru, so we learn from over here, chasan shenola benega, if a chasan who has tzara'as, no sonol shivas im emishli, he has the 7 days to be his wedding celebrations before the shiva brachos, he's allowed lo levesa luksusa, we look for himself, for his house, and for his clothing, none of those things we make him tamir. Rav Shechter likes to quote this drasha as a potential understanding that the idea of shiva brachos is daraisa. The fact that you have Shavuos Yemei Mishta, over here we have a Pasuk in the Chumash, and a definition of a Pasuk in the Chumash defining the fact that we don't check out the Tzara'as, which has a Din Daraisa, Chalos Daraisa, about a Chasan. So this is a very Gishmaka Raya, that the simplest Chasan, on a certain thing, certain levels over here, is a Din Daraisa, not just a Din Takanas Chazal, but rather a Din Daraisa, to be Mesameach the Chasan for the Shavuos Yemei Mishta. We have over here a source in the Gemara that seems to indicate that it's Daraisa. V'chein Regal, and similarly, if it happens on the Chag, Nosan Lo Shavuos Yemei Regal, that we look the Shivas Mei Regal checking out the mum to see, to check out the Tzara'as to see if it's really Tzara'as. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, that's the opinion of the Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Omer, Eino Tzarech. You don't even need this. Harei Omer V'tziva Kohen and Pinus Abayas. The Kohen should command and they should clear out the house before the Kohen went to look at the Negat Tzara'as so that not everything in the house would become Tameh. That's why we're talking about Klicharis over there. We don't want the Klicharis to have to be broken. So we see that if the Kohen delays his inspection for the purpose of saving the purpose, their property from becoming Tameh and having to break it. So Rabbi just points out, Imam Tinil Lod of our shows. This is something like, seemingly, we're talking about something which is just a dvar shus. It's not a mitzvah to lose these manners, these klecheres that are in the house that you're going to have to break. That's only a dvar shus. It's considered something which is just, you want it, great. No mitzvah to keep those things. Kol shekhen, dvar mitzvah, certainly we should delay the fact that you're checking out the manor for an actual mitzvah, and therefore you don't even come out, you don't even come onto the drasha. So therefore, they both learn that until the kohen is going to inspect it and define it as becoming tzaras, there would be no issue of it becoming tzaras. Now the Gemara just asks, Mai Binayu, what's the difference between them? Whether you learn it out from the pasuk straight up, or the fact that you learn it from Vitziva Kohen, Sapino Sabayas, and where says Amrabai, Mashmus Dorshin Kabanayu. There's no nafkamin at all. It's just a way to understand the halach over here. Do you need to have a pasuk or not to teach you that that you have a that you should have a heter to not to, that it's all dependent on the kohen. And Rava says no, there is an afkamina. Devar Shus he could be naya. That should you be allowed to do it for Devar Shus? That according to Rebbe, it's going to be mutter, for he considers taras of the person's body, taras of the adam, to be similar to taras abayis. However, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's not going to be usher. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it's going to be usher because according to Rabbi Yehuda, we're learning out that only for Devar Mitzvah do we assume that this is going to be the correct halacha. Devar Shus was only learned out by taras abayis, but you can't learn out taras of an adam to Devar Shus. So for Devar Shus, you're not be allowed to delay it and have the coin not check it out. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda holds mehasim lagaminan. We can't learn halacha from the teras of the adam of the person from the body teras to the case of teras abayis. The chiddushu because it's a halacha, it's a chiddushu. The ha turning on to the next someone now. Eitzim ba'avanim ba'almalametam. Normally, wood and stones are not generally susceptible to tumah. Wood and stones only become tame if they're made into a kli with a base kibble, with a receptacle or something like that. However, v'hachametam. Yet the Torah goes out of its way to tell you to become tame. And since this halacha is a chiddush, we can't learn from one halacha to the other halacha with regards to this point, because when you have a chiddush, you're not allowed to learn from one point to the next point. Okay, Baruch Hashem, we'll pick up Rabbi Omer in tomorrow's daf.